I'm a little excited, and like I usually say, I would calm down, but then it wouldn't be me. And so, something I found is if you try to be somebody else, you're a real poor example of them. So be you everywhere you go. And today's going to be pretty fun. We're going to talk about, it's Palm Sunday, glory to God. We're going to talk about that a little bit, but we're going to lead into being led by the Lord. And that is one of my favorite subjects. If we ever go to a conference or something, if they're talking about hearing the voice of God or being led by the Lord or prophetic things or something like that, or they're talking about healing, I want to be on the front row. I want to be an hour early, and I want to stay until everybody's leaving, and I can just wear out anybody that goes with me to a conference because of that heart. But there was something that happened to me one time. We went to this church service, and this guy, we were up close in the front, and he was going back and forth, and he was preaching. And as he was preaching, you could sense this shift. Something shifted, and he's preaching, and he stopped, and he goes, "That's the healing anointing. Whoever needs prayer for healing, let's come on down." And it was like, I sensed the shift, but I didn't know what the shift was. And that set me on a journey. But we're going to talk about Jesus for a minute here. If you'll go to Zechariah chapter 9, and they'll put it up in here. Jesus, man, Palm Sunday, he's coming in here. And it says, "Rejoice, O greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." Well, this is an amazing prophecy. I think it's like 400 years before Jesus came, if I remember right. But he's coming in there, and they're throwing down cloaks, they're throwing down clothes, and they're setting things out there. And in Matthew 21, it gives more detail about this account. And these people are waving palm branches. And what's amazing is in a short period of time later, some of those same ones were standing against him. That's why in Luke's account, when Jesus was coming in, he was weeping for Jerusalem. And over, he talked about Jerusalem, and you kill the prophets, and he would cry for them, and he wants his people to come to receive that. You know, in John chapter 5, verse 39, it says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they point to me, but yet you won't come to me." And so, man, that's where I was at for a long time. Oh, I wouldn't come to him, and I didn't want to bend my knee. I didn't want to yield to him, and I was on a path headed for destruction, and then I turned to him. And the Bible talks about whenever we turn to the Lord, the veil is lifted, and I could see, and I gave my heart, and he snatched me off the path of destruction and put me over in the kingdom of his dear son. And when he did that, the Spirit of God come on the inside of me. Whenever he did, and I had a purpose, and it's like, wait a minute, God, I have to live for you. I got to hear you. I got to know you. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I wasn't raised to be taught to pray. I wasn't raised to be taught to go to church every Sunday. So I had to start from there. And where we was at, they wasn't talking about the voice of God. They wasn't talking about the King Jesus coming in and they're crying out, "Hosanna, Son of David, save us." He saved me. And he saved so many of you sitting here today. And if you're not born again, today's your day. And I'm telling you, whenever he did that, he come in there. And I got started thinking about, man, all these people that yield to Jesus in the process of this. My wife and I were talking about that. And she was like, think about all the people that had to yield. Jesus is coming in before the Holy Spirit's even been spread abroad. And there was, in Matthew's account, for the issue of time, I'm just going to roll through some things, but they had to go in, and he sent them. He said, "Hey, you go into this little city over here, the opposite of, you'll find a colt, a donkey tied up, and you untie it. And if anybody asks you what you're doing that for, you just tell them the master has need of it." Well, I'm telling you, she was talking about offering. And when you yield your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, anything that the kingdom has need of If he says, hey, I would like for you to buy that person's groceries. I'd like for you to pay for that. I'd like for you to buy that car. I'd like for you to do this and that and the other. I'm telling you what, yield to that. And so they go get this donkey. And sure enough, somebody says, hey, what are you untying this donkey for? What are you untying that colt for? And they said, the master has need of it. And those people yielded. And I'm just thinking, man, this is amazing. These people, that it was before the Holy Spirit came, and are just like, okay. And then I realized, we're pre-wired to hear from God. You have to be trained out of that to think you don't hear from God. You do hear from God. He's put his spirit on the inside of you. You have a spirit. And when you get born again, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says his spirit comes in to be one with your spirit that you'll know. In Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 16, it says that his spirit will bear witness. Key word we're going to get to, that witness that you're a child of God. That's how you know that you know that you know you're born again. If you don't know, that's where you start. Start with revelation. And so Jesus is going in there and he's this king. He's coming in and they're not seeing him for what they're thinking. He's going to go in and start knocking heads and take over like Rome. But he's coming in to be the sacrificial lamb. And it didn't look like what they thought. And so whenever we have preconceived ideas of this is how God speaks to me, this is how God's going to show up inside of my life, this is what God's going to do, well then we can be led astray because now we can be like, wait a minute, that didn't line up to what I was thinking. No, we got to line up to what the Word of God says. And then whenever that, see the prophecy of him coming in there, all those that had the books of the law and everything memorized, they should have been like, hey, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. The prophet Zechariah said our king was going to be coming in riding on it. He's lowly. But this doesn't look like, but the prophecy. But this doesn't, but the prophecy. I don't understand this. Lord, explain that, please. But I see the prophecy. And so I'm going to yield to that. And so I took off after this, start to find these things. I want to read something. My buddy Josh wrote this about the triumphal entry. And I just can't write, I couldn't say it any better. The triumphal entry is a profound revelation of Jesus' identity, the King who came in humility, offering peace and salvation. It was a moment of both fulfillment and foreshadowing, proclaiming his kingship while pointing toward his ultimate sacrifice on the cross. In verse 10 of Zechariah there in 9, it talks about his dominion and it'll be from sea to shining sea. Well, I'm sure glad about that because I went to Jerusalem one time. It's a long ways from Stillwater. I mean a long ways. Not a comfortable plane ride either. It's a long ways over there. And so that salvation that he was going in there to secure is available for each and every one of us, for our neighbors, for our family, for the legacy and the generations to come after us. You know, yesterday was Passover. And we had our grandkids over to the house yesterday evening, and we was over there, and our granddaughter, Maya, she was like, we do communion pretty often. She loves to do communion. She was like, can we do communion, Papa? And so like, yes. And today's Passover. And I was like, let me talk to you about Passover just a little bit. And so I talked to them about that lamb, and how they took the hyssop branch and the blood of that lamb and they put it up over the doorpost and the death angel passed through and all those that yielded and obeyed the Lord, they were saved. And now with Jesus' blood, it is that branch over the doorpost of our heart and we had to yield to step into that. We had to give ourselves to that and say, not my way, but your way. Not my will, but your will. I'm going to yield to you. Even whenever it's going to contrary, you feel this, this pushback going. And so we were able to talk about that a little bit. And they're like, oh, okay. And I understand. They don't really understand that a whole lot. But you know what? Nobody at my house when I was growing up talked about that. So, and we're talking, and it's a seed going inside of there. And then they're back there in youth group, and that seed's getting watered. And then they're in there, and it's getting watered some more. And every Sunday when we're bringing them to church, they're getting watered. And when they go over there to the table, and Papa's Bible's over there, and that one day I was watching him, Papa, why are you reading that Bible? Because God is inside this book, and I get to know him and my plans and the boundaries, and I get to understand these types of things. And so they're like, oh, okay. They don't really understand, but yet they can perceive and they can know. From the youngest time you was a child, I guarantee you, if you could get alone and think back, I was thinking about it one day, getting ahead of myself, but I was like, I think eight, nine, something like that. My parents had a boathouse on Blue Stem Lake at Pawhuska. And I'd get on my 3-1 and ride down to the end of the cove early in the morning because Dad would get up early and I got up. And I mean that steam's coming off the water, and I always just thought that was the coolest looking thing. And so I'd get down there at the end of the cove and I'm just looking out across there. And I would just do that. And the presence of God made himself known to me. But I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't have nobody to explain it to me. I didn't understand, but I knew the presence of God was coming. And that is the purpose for why Jesus went and did all these things. You know, in John 14, verse 9, he's talking to Philip, and Philip's like, hey, show us the Father. And he said, have you been with me this long? And you say, show me the Father? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus revealed himself to me that day, and I didn't quite grasp it. I didn't understand. And Jesus, over and over, for that purpose, he went to go be the sacrificial lamb. 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And I'm telling you, he had a mission and a purpose. And I was thinking about his triumphal entry. He's going inside of there. It's game time. He's headed into the end of the end right here. It's not Easter. He hadn't resurrected, I'm telling you, but he's headed there. And that's when the pressure is on. And I was just thinking, you know, just this weekend, there's been so many times, I mean, I've been bold as a lion. All kinds of bold. This weekend, my wife and I, there was a person over there, and I thought, man, I need to go over there and pray for that person. So many times I've done that. And I allowed introspection, fear of man, and myself, and I drew back from that. And I was thinking, man, Jesus, when the heat is on, the pressure's on, you're weeping going into Jerusalem, knowing some of these same people are going to go, you know what, give us Barabbas. We'll take him instead of the Messiah. We'll take him because they don't understand. And I'm thinking, man, you had your face set like flint, and you were headed to that cross, and nothing was holding you back. You were going. Why? Because he could see all of us in generations to come, to lay out, spill out that blood, to be that sacrifice, take stripes on his back so people could be healed. And I'm telling you, he was headed there. And in Hebrews, it talks about he despised the shame. And I thought, man, there's a revelation in that. When we can get to where we just despise that feeling of drawing back, of holding back, of not pressing into who God called and created us to be, and go ahead and just take that step of faith and move forward. Well, I repented about that for not going out there. You know, just last week, we were on vacation, and my wife and I, we're at a roadside stand buying some oranges in California, and the guy, see, just a keynote, you'll be talking to somebody, and out of the blue, has nothing to do with what you're doing, all of a sudden, they mention something. And it's like, wait a minute, that's out of context. And so we're there, we're talking, he's cutting up some oranges, and we're going to buy some oranges and this honey, and we're talking about that. And he goes, yeah, I need to leave soon and go to a doctor's appointment. Really? So with my passion for healing, my ears go, need to go to the doctor's appointment. So, okay, we're getting these oranges and everything and pay for him, or having a good encounter with this guy. And I said, excuse me, sir, before you go, if you don't mind, why, you know, what reason do you need to go to the doctor? He was an older gentleman, and he said, my blood sugar, and I don't remember, something else. I said, oh, okay. And I said, well, sir, this is something I say. I'm a praying man. Would you give me permission to pray for you, sir? And he kind of looks at me, and people will look at you, and I've only been told no just a handful of times. And he was like, yeah. So my wife and I just pray for him. And man, you can just feel, you can just feel the anointing and the love of God. Come on, him. We passed 50 roadside orange stands. And we went to that one. Your life, as you're just going through your daily life, I want to talk to you about being led. Now, I'm just going to share examples as they come to my mind. Trust God to custom fit them to you. And so we went past all these little roadside stands, started to turn around a time or two. Now we went on. As you're just going about your business, doing life, doing your job, doing your hobbies, doing whatever you're living your life, just be open to the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. He wants to be with us. If you'll turn to John chapter 15. This is really good. John chapter 15. Jesus is talking to them. And in verse 26, this is one of the purposes for why he was going to that cross, so he could get the promise of the Father to us. But when the Helper comes, I shall send to you from the Father the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Now, if you go on into John chapter 16, you read that, this Spirit of truth, he's a witness on the inside. You just know that you know something. I don't even know why I know that. I just know something. He's a witness. He's a comforter. He's a helper. He's one that comes alongside. And then from, I am not a Greek scholar, Pastor Will, he knows a lot about that. But he is one made just like Jesus. And Pastor Zach, when he was preaching a couple of weeks ago, he was bringing out, you know, if we didn't have the Holy Spirit, we would all have to go to Jerusalem to see Jesus. Can you imagine the line? Do the math on that to get five minutes with Jesus and how long you'd have to stand there. I mean, it's like that's crazy, but he's right there to speak to each and every one of us all the time. So we were in that church service and we're sitting there and the ministers, he's going back and forth and he's preaching and I sensed a change on the inside, but I didn't know what the change was. And he goes, that's the healing anointing. We're going to start praying for the sick. And I'm like, oh, see, he's a minister, been a minister for 30 years or something. He'd been practicing this listening to the Lord, practicing this yielding to him, practicing pressing into him. So when I got started going after this stuff to be led by the Lord, I got a hold of a teaching from Kenneth E. Hagin, and he talked about the power in that prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, and you know, about the spirit of wisdom and knowing this. I thought, man, God, I have to have that. I had my wife write those scriptures out. We used a paper plate because it's kind of like cardstock. She could write real small and real neat. She wrote it out on a card, and I had put it under the CB strap in the semi. And man, I'd be going down the road and I'd pull that out. Oh God, I have to know you. I have to be able to be led by you. I've made a mess so many times. I have to have your presence and your power and your voice. I have to hear your voice inside of my life. And so I'm doing this and I'm kicking along and it's like a month later. And all of a sudden I start reading the word and it's like scriptures start opening up. Things start opening up. And as I practice and yield to that, and I'm like, God, I have to have you in my life. I have to have this power of the Holy Spirit. You know, he went on to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm like, I need that. The church we had went to when we started off, they never mentioned that. They actually made fun of some of those things. And you could go there and live your entire life going to that church and never hear a sermon on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But if you read the Bible, and the Bible's going to be your guideline, if the Bible's going to be the parameters of your life and your decision, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge. Well, then I press it in, and I'm like, oh, and I got some pushback. I had a guy at work. He was a mechanic back then at the place I was working. He told me, you know that stuff has died away, don't you? And I was like, no, it hasn't. And he was like, oh, yeah. And so twist the scriptures. The enemy always wants to twist this stuff. And see, the enemy inside of your life and my life, he always wants to exploit difference. Difference. If he exploits the difference, man, woman, rich, poor, black, white, it don't matter. You're on this side of the tracks or that side of the tracks, whatever the difference is. If he can exploit that, well, then he's got you in a corner because now you start seeing those people through a different lens. Now you don't see them through the lens of that triumphal entry of Jesus going into that place to go in there to pay the price for him. Now it starts becoming a difference. And so that gets tough because sometimes, you know, you can't unsee stuff. And so you have these moments where you're like, I see that. And the Lord's like, check yourself, check yourself. Okay, yes, Lord. So as I'm learning to be led by the Lord, flow in him. I get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I'd go on down the road, and I would just spend time praying in tongues, just praying in the Spirit, listening to sermons on there. I'd spend hours going down the road, still doing. My wife laughs at me. You get in the car, and you'll turn the radio off. And it's like, I want to talk to you. And if you might have something to say, I don't want to listen. And so I learned this because I'd be in the semi, and I'd get in there, and people would be like, how can you go for 5 hours and never turn the radio on? It was never quiet in there on the inside right in here. I'm talking, I'm learning to yield to the Holy Spirit. And so then as I'm learning to yield to him, he's going to talk to you about issues you've got going. And so sometimes we're afraid of the Holy Spirit because we're like, oh man, I got a laundry list of issues and I'm so afraid to get close to him because all he's going to do is be the God police and whack me with a baton or something. No, he would come in and talk to me and he said, Calvin, we need to do something about that temper. Yes, sir. And so here's how I'd start dealing with some of those things as he'd bring that up. I'd get on my knees and I'm like, oh God. That's not of you. I can't be that way. You said, Lord, never speak harshly to your wife. Father, you said to lift her up to him. Father, I'm not setting a good example if I lose my temper and have a little fit at work in front of people. Father, that's not representing you. Oh, I can't have that in my life. And then you got to start speaking, sowing, and watering the answer. Instead of getting up every day, clenching your teeth, and I'm going to bite my tongue. No, don't bite your tongue. Change your heart. And the tongue will follow. And so I start, Father, I just thank you. You didn't make me to be a vessel of anger or filth or wrath or ill-tempered. I am not short-tempered, Father. Oh, Father, I have your grace and your patience on the inside of me. Father, I thank you that I'm a vessel of honor. I thank you, Lord, that I'll walk in your patience. I'll yield to you. And so then when temptation starts riding up, you step back and you go, Lord, thank you, Father, right now. I just thank you. Oh, I thank you for grace and patience, Father. I just thank you. Give me words of wisdom to say, Father. And so then the different issues inside of my life, that was the process I started taking. And I don't look nothing like I did years ago, but I don't look anything like I'm going to look. But I tell you what, so Thursday night, we've been going to the church in Meeker, my in-law's church. They're teaching that biblical citizenship class, playing those videos. It's really awesome. And so he's like, yeah, that'd be cool. I want to go to that. So he's going to that. And the pastor, he came around there, and we were talking to him. And he said something about being a good pastor or whatever. And he asked Shauna, my wife, said, is he a good husband or something? Or is he nice to you? And she's like, yeah, he's always nice to me. And he goes, always? And she goes, yeah, he's always nice to me. And he goes, all right. And I said, there it is right there. In Proverbs, it says to be enraptured with her love. Enraptured. So all of you people, that if you've been married more than 15 minutes, keep stirring that. Keep watering that. Keep talking. How did you talk to her when you were dating? Did you go out of your way to get something that she liked? You know, if you both eat meals, you both have dishes. And if I could learn to drive a 13-speed semi, I can work a washing machine. Reach, reach. That's just a side thought. But I'm telling you, the destruction of marriage and a home and the witness of God inside of a family, it ends with that generation. Not yielding to God, not yielding to the Holy Spirit, not saying your way, not my way. It ends there. And I decided inside of my family, it stops with me. There's stuff inside of our family, and I said, you know what? That might have been in their life, and that might have been in their life, and it's tried to get into my life, but it stops with me. I'm cutting it off right here. I'm going to be known as a man of God. I may not walk perfectly, and when I mess up, see, here's one of the things of being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Whenever he reveals to you, you stuck your toes over the line a little bit, make it right. Repent, apologize. So I was at work one day, and I just said something. I said it was the wrong tone, wrong heart. It wasn't bad, and nobody else there even thought anything about it. but the Holy Spirit on the inside of me, because I want to develop that sensitivity. Said, mm-mm. So we was out there, we was doing something, and I was working on this blade, and so I don't know about you, but I've wrestled with obedience before. And so me and the mechanic were out here, we're working on my road grader, and we're doing stuff, and I'm like, he said, what? I said, I got to go talk to Tony, make that right. I shouldn't have said what I said. And he goes, oh, Tony won't care. And I said, I'm not responsible for that. I'm responsible for what comes out of my mouth. And he said, okay. So I went to him and said, hey, I'm sorry. What I said a while ago was the wrong tone, wrong attitude. I've repented. I've asked God to forgive me. Please forgive me. It was the wrong attitude. Shouldn't have said it. He goes, oh, it's no big deal. I said, it's a big deal to me. I said, I'm sorry. I apologize. And so now what I do is I start praying, Father, I want to pray for Tony. I want to pray that none of those little seeds, the enemy can't use those little seeds to work his little voodoo junk, you know, and cause offense to rise up inside of his heart. So I start praying for him. But that witness, so that guy that was out there helping me, he's not a church-going guy. He has great respect for us that go to church. Says he's a believer, doesn't go to church, doesn't have any involvement in things of church. Nice guy, good guy, kind of guy you'd want working for you. All of that, but he's not going to come to your Bible study. The other day he calls me and he says, hey, Calvin. He said, he was on vacation. I said, hey, buddy. And he said, man, I've been just sitting around doing some thinking about some things. And he said, I'm going to have to talk to those guys about their filthiness at work. He said, you, and he named me and two other guys off. He said, you guys never cuss. You work here too. Y'all shouldn't have to, because when they get going real bad, I got air to breathe somewhere else. I get up and I go do my job, go on. And he said, you shouldn't have to get up and walk out. I said, no, I shouldn't. But that's the way it is, and don't get yourself in trouble. I'm good. Hey, it's all good. And he goes, no, I'm going to do that. And so I said, well, yeah. I said, don't bring it on you, because it'll bring heat. Separation. Difference. The enemy works in difference. And so he said, no. And I said, well, you probably better talk to the boss. So he talked to the boss, and guess what? The boss had a little visit with a few of those guys that like to, there's a couple of them. One in particular, when I walked through the door, he would shift and instantly start telling a story and just dropping one thing after another, after another, after another, and then give me a sly look. And so I can take it. But if it gets really bad, I get up, I go. They'd be like, where are you going? I got air to breathe somewhere else. And so they talked about that. And so I'm thinking, what if I wouldn't have apologized? It was a witness. See, that seed was in there, and this was months ago. And now this guy, he's one step closer to wanting to come to a Bible study. And he's seeing the difference of light and dark, of lifestyle, of commitment. Now, don't claim Christian. Don't put your Jesus bumper sticker on and then show up 5 minutes late for work, not ready to go, with a good attitude. You're a bad witness. Take that sticker off and put, I'm trying. Just get a sticker that says, I'm trying. And so be a good employee, be a good witness, be a good lifestyle. Your neighbors should be able to go, that guy right there, I know exactly where he's going to be on Sunday morning. He's going to church, you know. So live that out. And so whenever we're doing these things, when we're pressing into this and we're trying to be led by the Lord, we have to practice this. One of the ways you can practice is spending that time by yourself, and the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. So in the process of time, I'm practicing this. One time, at the very start of this, I was driving a semi, and I was over in Missouri, and I was taking this little two-lane back road from point A to point B, and I'm going along, and I'd been crying out to God, God, I got to hear your voice. I have to hear your voice, like Pastor so-and-so, like that preacher so-and-so. I have to be able to do that. I sense that change. I got to know, and I'm crying this out all the time. Pressing into him, praying that prayer out of Ephesians chapter 1. And so I'm going along down this little two-lane road, a a back road in Missouri, windy little road, and I'm just going from one delivery stop to the next, point A, point B, 20-minute drive, and I'm going along, and on the inside, right in here, it kind of came up to my mind. It said, slow down. I thought, what? I just went back to, I'm just going along, thinking about nothing, and up it, again, it comes up, slow down. And then I thought, well, I don't have anything to lose. I'm ahead of schedule. I'm on time. I'll just slow down. And so I just slowed down. I'm in a semi, 48-foot trailer. I'm in a semi going from A to B to deliver a Mazio's. And I'm rounding the corner, and it's a two-lane road, and it's like a mountain on this side. The shoulder's about that wide over there. And on this side is the other side of the mountain, and the shoulder's about yay wide, and there's no guardrail. And when I round the corner, here's a car coming, and there's a yearling heifer in the road. If I would not have slowed down, me, the car, and the yearling heifer would all have been at the same spot, and there was only room for two of us, and we would have been there. And so now it's like, oh, I heard from God. So now whenever you hear from God, when you think, you got to step back and go, wait a minute. I heard that from the inside. And think about it. Meditate. Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. So in the process of that, I would just meditate. And I'd be like, you know what? That was that same voice when I was a kid that I was at a lake. That was the same voice when I stepped out to go down for salvation. That was the same voice all these other times. When it was, no doubt, it was a church thing that's easier. But this is just everyday life. Slow down. Just slow down. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to back off. I'm going to pump the brake a little bit and just slow down. And it spared either a close call or a really bad situation. And there's hundreds of those over the years of driving a semi where I'm going like this. I had another guy, we're on the delivery route. We was in Oklahoma City and it was icy. And you know, when you deliver restaurants, bad weather's just a tough work day, not a no-show day. And so we're going along, and I mean, it is slick. And we're going along, it's like 25 miles an hour, all the traffic's going along, and all of a sudden this car right here in front of me, he goes like this, and then he starts going like this. And on the inside, I've learned, ask a question. Which way do I go? And I'm like, and all of a sudden, I seen it. I seen the hole on the shoulder, and I just, on the inside, was like, gun it. And I grab another gear. I go to the shoulder, and the guy next to me, he's like, looking at me, he's like, what are you doing? Because I'm accelerating. And right as I go past that guy, he spins like this and goes shooting off into the ditch. And I'm like, man, that was so close. And the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. One time I was headed home from work, headed to our house. And my wife was there, and there was this couple. They had come to visit us, and they're waiting on me to get there. And as I'm going through town, I'm hurrying to go there. On the inside, I was like, man, I just really feel like I need to go out there to Dad's. It was before my dad passed away, and I was like, man. And I thought, no, I can't do that, because if I do that, it's going to take like 15, 20 minutes. They're waiting on me. And there it is again. I just need to go out there to Dad's. And I'm just going to run in there to Dad's real quick, and I'll just see. And so I pull up to Dad's house, and he's fighting with this yearling colt that had cut its leg open, and he's trying to get it wrestled up into the trailer to get it to the vet. And I pull up, oh, man, I'm glad to see you. Grab a hold. And so the two of us, we get over there and we put this yearling colt inside of a horse trailer. It's got its leg laid open. And we're putting, man, I'm so glad to see you. And I'm like, that's that same voice. The same voice. And we can discern and we can practice that. And so there's a lot of practical applications. We're going to do something that's going to be pretty fun here today. So I got these $5 bills. I got five of them, okay? And so what these are, and I'll have on there, hear, see, and sense. And so what I'm going to do here in just a moment, I want to talk about these for a second. We'll have the ushers just pass them out to random people. This is God money. And this is, all the rest of us can do this, and it's really fun to do sometimes. Just take you a $20 bill and fold it over like that and pray over it and stick it in that little pocket in your wallet or in your car or wherever, and that's God money. Lord, specifically show me just exactly who I need to give that to. And I'm telling you, what you're doing is you're practicing hearing. And so in the mornings, in your prayer time, in your Bible reading, or in the evening, whenever your spot is, you can practice sensing and hearing. The Lord, show me that. And you know, and you can pray in the Spirit, and you can do these things, and you'll start developing that muscle. See, I had developed natural reasoning, and that was the thing that was causing people to not recognize the Messiah riding in on that donkey. And so we can discern and we can develop spiritual things. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, present yourself therefore unto God a reasonable sacrifice that you may prove. Oh, well, it says to renew your mind. Present yourself, renew your mind so that you can, it's really key thing in the scriptures, prove what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. Well, how do you prove that out? You got to take a little step of faith out there. You got to take something like this, a little $5 bill. So if the ushers will come out and they're just going to go around, and if you'll take this challenge, if they go to give it to you and you will take that challenge, just take the bill. If you don't, just nod your head no and they'll find somebody else. And so if you gentlemen would just pass those out, just random people, whoever the Lord lays on your guys' heart, give him one right there too. And set that money aside. And don't be quick with it. One time I did that, and a guy, he kept it for like 5 weeks. And there was a certain coworker that worked in the hospital where he worked. They weren't best friends, but he went and he gave that to her. And when he did, it just ministered to her. She experienced the love of God because somebody cared enough, heard from God, and God highlighted that person and picked them out. And God will do that through you. It's pretty awesome. So you can set some stuff aside. So one time the Lord was, he was leaning on my heart, and I seen pictures. I seen myself buying somebody's groceries, and I was in Walmart, and there was this family went by, and the Lord was like, buy her groceries. And so I heard it in here, but then I could see it here. I seen myself swiping. I see in pictures a lot. And so the Lord uses pictures. And so I go up there, and this girl, I totally had even forgotten about her, couldn't even remember anything about her. And I said, hey, I know you don't know me, but I'm a Christian, and I feel like God wants me to buy your groceries. And she said, I know you. And I said, okay. And she said, you filled in and preached for my parents one time. And I said, really? I didn't recognize her. Been several years, and I was like, well, God laid it on my heart to just buy your grocery. I want to buy your grocery. You don't know how much that means. Sometimes that person standing in line, when you have that little voice, that might be their last $10. That might be that gas pump, when you're at the gas pump and somebody, you're just drawn toward them. You see. So I want to take you to a... They don't have these scriptures. I'm just going to read them to you. I want you to listen to them. It's 1 Samuel chapter 3. This is where Samuel, the prophet, he's a young boy. He's in training. He's a young boy, and he is there with Eli, the prophet. And so he's left there, and he's in learning. But there's some really good stuff in here. And so listen to this, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 3. And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, while Samuel was lying down, so he's still in his quiet. Practice this when you're still in your quiet. Taking a shower, laying in the tub, chilling on the couch. Put your phone down, turn stuff off, focus on your spirit on the inside. So Samuel's laying down, that the Lord called Samuel and said, and he answered, here am I. So he ran to Eli. Because he heard it, but it was from the inside. And he said, here am I, for you called me. And he said, I didn't call you, lie down again. And he went and he laid down again. Then the Lord called yet again, the patience of God, Samuel. So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. He answered, I didn't call you, my son, lie down again. So now Samuel did, and did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived. So we as parents, when kids are perceiving, we have to water and develop that. Then Eli perceived, and he had his own issues, that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said, so see, when somebody shares something with you of how to take a step, you can just start practicing that, and then God will custom fit you for your gifting. Okay, so he perceived and that the Lord had called the boy, and Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you must say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel, he went and he laid down, and the Lord called and he said, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." So one thing you need to know about this, he was still, he heard. He thought it was an outside voice, and sometimes you can hear something so loud on the inside that you think it was an outside voice, but it was actually from here coming up. And as you practice and discern that and develop that and you take those little steps of faith, well, then that voice becomes more sure. Oh, I know that voice. Then you can lean in. You can press in. And so Samuel did that, and the Lord gave him a word for Eli, and he had the boldness to give that. And a prophet Jeremiah, when he was young, the Lord was dealing with him, and he said, "What do you see?" And he said, "I see an almond branch like a tree." This is Jeremiah chapter 1. And he goes, "You've seen well." And then he put the word of the Lord inside of his mouth. Well, in Isaiah, I think it, where is that? I wrote it in Isaiah chapter 21. We don't have to go there. Verse 3. But the prophet Isaiah, he has this unusual prophecy. He's like, "I feel pain in my loins, and I am distressed, and I hear." And then he was seeing something. So he was feeling something. He was hearing something. And he could see, hear, and feel. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says that you present your whole bodies to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Well, what is your whole body? My eyes, my ears, my senses, my feel. There's times I've felt something. Here, the last time we was at the county jail, Amaral and Alan were preaching, and I was sitting there. And so what I'm doing is I'm just sitting there, and I'm just praying. Oh, God, open these guys' heart. Let their word just pierce their heart, Father, that they just hear you. And then I'm sitting there, and I'm praying in tongues under my breath to myself. And all of a sudden, right in here, ear, right ear. Okay, so here's how I've learned to help develop this. When I think I hear something, I shut off my attention to other things and I lean into that. And I'm just praying in the Spirit, and it got stronger. If it gets stronger, well, then I take another little step towards it. And it got stronger, and it got stronger. I thought, okay. So I don't know what you've seen of people on TV, but we don't have to be like them. And so when they got done, they turned around. Emerald said, "You got anything?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Gentlemen, as we were sitting there," and I just explained that same thing. I said, "The Bible says that we can learn, we can prove the good, perfect, acceptable will of God." And I said, as I kept doing that, I said, "So is there somebody here, you've had a problem with your right ear?" And there was two guys. One had had damage in his ear from shrapnel. Well, they came up. I'm telling you, that means a lot. You know, one night at the jail while Amaral was preaching, him and Alan just bring out prophetic stuff in me. It's just good. I should have had him just come right up here next to me. But Amaral was preaching, and the Lord gave me this name, Emily. It came up in my heart. And I thought, so that was the first time I ever got somebody's name. And so this name came up, Emily. I thought, so I pressed into that. It got stronger. I pressed into that. It got stronger. And these guys had already said when they came in there, now they don't really know the Lord or anything. And so when Emerald got done, I asked them, "Hey, I just heard in my heart this name, Emily. Does that mean anything to you guys?" There were, I think, three guys in there. And at first they were like, "No." And then this one guy go, "Hey, that's my daughter's name. How'd you know my daughter's name?" I said, I don't know anything about you guys. I don't know anything about your daughter. Well, then when I stepped out in that, then a word for him came. And I began to tell him who he was and how Jesus had died. But before the foundation of the world, God knew him. And I started, and this word is just flowing out. And I'm just sharing this word, just like I'm talking to you right now. And those guys got born again that night. Because Jesus revealed himself, because somebody just became yielded and said, here am I, Lord, use me. So those $5 bills and the rest of you, take some money, set it aside. And just do that. I'm telling you what, it's awesome. You can start growing. And there's this one guy that's a prophet. And one thing that he does, he said, you know, as always, I didn't get up early in the morning to read my Bible. I go through the day, I'm doing stuff in my job. When I would get home at night, that was my unwind time. And he would go in there and he would just get in the bathtub and all the kids, leave him alone. That's dad's quiet time with the Lord. He's going to soak in the tub for a while. He's going to read his scriptures. And he said, that's where I'd get... God would give me all my sermons. That's where he gave him his books. That's where he gave him all these different things. That was his little quiet place. You know, when you step into the shower, a lot of times people hear from God because you have to shut off the natural world. And this is such a mundane thing that all of us take a shower or a bath every day. No big deal. And boom, your soul's quiet to where you can hear. And one thing you can do is you can press into the Lord with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you can pray in the Spirit. The Bible says that if you pray in an unknown tongue, your spirit prays. It says your mind's unfruitful because you don't understand the language, but you're speaking to God, and you're praying mysteries. So one time at church, I was a prayer minister. This lady came up, and she was a prayer warrior. Her and her husband led the prayer group then. This was a different church. I mean, these are people, they know how to pray. And she came up, and she said, you know, Calvin, her and her husband, she said, man, we keep having this cycle of the stomach thing going on. And there's something there. I'm missing something. God's trying to get something to me. Would you just pray? And if God shows you something or tells you something, just let me know. Because we keep struggling with this over and over and over. So, okay. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, I believe it is. It says pray. No, it's in Ephesians. Pray with your spirit and pray with your understanding. Those scriptures get left out a lot. And so we're standing there and we just pray. She's baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is an ignorant and unlearned people. And we're just praying and ask the Lord, Lord, she's come to seek you and she's asked me to pray. And so I just pray for that. Lord, show us something. And we just got still and quiet. So let's just pray in the spirit for a little bit. I start praying in the spirit. And she's praying in the spirit. And we're just quietly praying in tongues together, standing there. And all of a sudden, I see a pitcher. It's this Tupperware that has a green lid. And I said, I just seen something. God shows pictures to me most of the time and builds off of that. And I said, I see this container, like a Tupperware container, and it has a green lid. Does that mean anything to you? So just ask a question. Don't go, let's say it. Don't do that. Be you, normal you. Does this mean anything to you? And she goes, yes, it does. We have a container. They ate a lot of salads, did all this stuff, and they would chop this stuff up, and they kept using that container. And I said, you might. I need to do something with that. I'd probably throw it away and get a new one or something. And another lady that's a prayer warrior, she goes, you're transferring the bacteria from here to there. Do you wash that in between, refilling it? She goes, no, I don't think we did. And she goes, I'd wash it. So they went home, scrubbed that up, sanitized this container. The stomach issue stopped. Such a natural thing. But he is a revealer, a comforter, a helper. And so I want to take you to a section of scriptures here real quick. And we're going to go to the book of Acts real quick. We're going to roll through this pretty fast. But in the book of Acts, this is the day of Pentecost, which makes some people very it just makes them uncomfortable. And the only reason is because you've heard wrong, you've believed wrong, there's lies involved. Or you've seen some bad examples. But what's that got to do with them? You know, I've seen some knuckleheads driving. There were some really bad examples. And I don't want to follow after them. I've seen a whole bunch of stuff. And so truth, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He's the answer for misinformation, for fear, and for unbelief. But we have to yield to him. And so in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to start verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were all sitting. And then there appeared unto them divided tongues as of fire. And I don't believe that ever showed up again like that. And as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so then they went out, and there was all this crowd there, and they began to say things. And so I just want to point some stuff off. In verse 6, these people, it says they were confused. In verse 7, it says they were amazed and marveled. I don't know about you, but the first time I ever heard, I was in a church service, and there was a message in tongues and an interpretation of tongues. I was amazed, and I didn't really understand it, but I knew that was God. And so then in verse 11, it says they were speaking the wonderful works of God. In verse 12, it says they were amazed and perplexed. But here's the key verse that you will run into a few people. In verse 13, they were mocking. They're still mockers. But old Peter, you remember him? He was afraid and drew back and denied the Lord three times. But after this endowment of power from on high that Jesus said, don't you go until you're endued with power from on high to be a witness. It was so important to them. And then later on, down in Samaria, whenever they were received the word of God, they sent Peter and John down there so that they may be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then you see Philip, he's just serving in the church. And they said, hey, we got all this work to do. Let's seek out among us, what was it, seven men of good report, full of the Holy Ghost and power. And so they sought him out. And Stephen, he's doing mighty works, it said, of them. Well, that would disqualify some people. I don't know about you, but when I very first started being an usher, they were like, you baptized in the Holy Spirit? No, oh, sorry. You're going to have to wait. And we're like, oh, but these people, it was the endowment of power. And Peter, it said, on that day of Pentecost, he stood up with the 11. And he said, hey, men, these guys, they're not drunk like you suppose. This is the Holy Spirit. And then he quotes back the prophecy from Joel. The prophecy should have settled the debate for those that are Bible believers. And he said, this is for you and for your family and all those who are far off all the way to Stillwater. This is a promise for you. And Jesus said, it's the promise of the Father. And every time you find it inside the scriptures in the book of Acts, you can find it numerous times in there. They were magnifying God. They were exalting God. They were blessing God. Well, I've heard a lot of nonsense, but I'm telling you what, that was that. And so they were explaining this away, and the people came, and all those people came. There was a witness. And they got born again. Now, it never says it happened quite like this. And sometimes Pentecostal churches, they have failed with the display of some things. But what's that got to do with us? That ain't got nothing to do with us. I choose to be me, empowered by God. And so when I'm empowered by him, he's going to show me. He's going to reveal something to me. He's going to tell me. I might even sense something. We've been at the county jail, and I was just sensing something right over here. And a guy come out and say, hey, you got something going on in your body, mainly kind of right over here in this area? And he goes, yeah. And he had went to the hospital, and he had congestive heart failure and something else. And it's like, there's no way for me to know that. He didn't look like that. He's 35 years old. So me and Amaral prayed for him. And so we've seen God do some amazing things in there, and it's just by stepping out. But you act like a weirdo, and people will flee from you. And you'll notice the apostles, they didn't act like weirdos. They act like people that love people. And see, if you'll read in the book of Corinthians, love is the best thing. Why? Because love's going to ask this question. When I think I hear something from God, when I see something from God, when I feel like I'm perceiving something from God in an area to press forward, I'm going to ask, what would be the best way to do that with that person? And then I'm going to press a little bit further toward it. How can I do that the best way? You know, and then you just step in and you do what you see, what you hear, you know, and what you feel. That's why on those bills, it has that little sheet of paper that says, see, hear, and sense. Well, how did I perceive that? So meditate on when you feel like the Holy Spirit shows you something. And so at this time, if the altar team would come up, please. If you're here and you, this is the most important thing. If you're here and you know that you're not born again. You've never given your life to the Lord. Y'all can just come right across the front anywhere, Scott and Dana. And I just want to mention, Scott and Dana's coming. He is exceptionally blessed. The Lord uses him to pray for people for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Like 9 out of 10 people like that. It's amazing. And so they're here to pray for you. But if you're not born again, that's the starting place. You get the Spirit of God on the inside of you. But don't just kind of commit. See, I call them camouflage Christians. And I was one of those for quite some time. And they just kind of want to blend into whatever group. If they're over here riding in a truck with the church guy, they talk a little churchy and they watch their language and this kind of stuff. But then when they get over there in the shop with these other guys, well, then they're talking like them and they're laughing at their dirty jokes and they can add a little extra to things. I call them camouflage Christians. They just fit into whatever environment they're in. Well, you know what? Whenever you really, truly become a born-again Christian, it's like the whole world. I seen this picture one time the Lord showed me. It was like this huge banquet room and all these tables and everybody's sitting down. And when somebody would get born again, they would stand up. And then when they got baptized and the Holy Spirit started believing that God could do signs, wonders, and miracles, it was like they stood up on their chair. And I'm telling you, there's going to be a difference between you and the world, but there's coming a day, each and every one of us, we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus, and our excuses won't hold any water. It's going to be, what did we do with that lamb that was going into Jerusalem to become the sacrifice for us? So if you've never given your life to the Lord, that's the first call I want to make. I just ask you to just raise your hand and we can pray with you and you can know that you know that you know right here today. Is there anybody who's never given your life to the Lord? Okay. Earlier, I was walking through these chairs praying. And I actually have it. I drew it out exactly which chair it is. I got it on my notebook right here. There's a chair back there and there's a guy sitting in it right now. And when I was walking through praying over those chairs, I could just feel the love of God right there. And I sat down in that chair. And I kept feeling like that person. There's somebody. They're in that valley of decision where we all have to lay down our flesh, our life. And I'm telling you, Jesus is standing right there waiting on you to give him the nod. And he will snatch you off the path of destruction and translate you into the kingdom of his dear son. And if you'll get filled with the Holy Spirit, you will get empowered to be a witness, to live for God, to be the person God created and designed for you to be. Because anything short of that, we're coming short. And so I want you to reflect on that. Now, if there's anybody here, you need prayer, or you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, these people, they want to pray for you. They got some little mini books they can give you. They want to pray for you. If you got something going on inside of your body, let them come and pray for you. If you're like, you know what, I'd like to kind of just get jump-started in hearing from God, come let these altar workers, let them just pray for you. It'll be amazing what God will do. I'm telling you, God can just show you some things. God can just reveal some things to you. And right there, God can just minister to your heart and you can hear something. They might have a prophetic word for you. But if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need that endowment of power. You need that to walk that out. Pray in the Spirit every day. And I'm telling you, God will bless your life. So I just want to close us out with this. I just want to pray over us. Father God, I just thank you. Can you put up those closing verses, please? The blessing. I just want to bless you. I went a couple minutes over and it's all good. But I just want to pray over you. Father God, I just thank you for these people. And I thank you for you custom fitting your word to their hearts. And I thank you that there'll be people known that hear God. There'll be the people that people call to say, would you pray? I'm having this problem and I know that you know God. Father, I just pray for them to be a revelation, that it just flourish in here, and that, Father, that this just be a house where your spirit can just flow freely from people to people to be a blessing, to be an encouragement, to be a help, to lift people up, Father, that we'll also be just the normal guy that lives down the street. Father, I just thank you for that. I call these people blessed, and I just thank you for health and wholeness. I just declare Psalms 91:10 over these people, that no evil shall befall you and no plague shall come nigh your dwelling. And I just pray that the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I call you blessed. Amen. Amen.